Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and Pastors Richard and Helen Kabakian can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
So, are you all good? So let's get into the word. Why don't you pray with me? Father, thank you for your people here today. Lord, I ask you to bless us as we delve into your word. Teach us something, God, that will really change our lives today. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Give the worship team a huge round of applause. Good on you, guys. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 to 17. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 to 17. One day, Elisha went to the town of Shunem. A wealthy woman lived there, and she urged him to come to her home for a meal. After that, whenever he passed that way, he would stop there for something to eat. She said to her husband, "I am sure this man who stops in from time to time is a holy man of God. Let's build a small room for him on the roof and furnish it with a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. Then he will have a place to stay whenever he comes by." One day, Elisha returned to Shunem, and he went up to this upper room to rest. He said to his servant Gehazi, "Tell the woman from Shunem, I want to speak to her." When she appeared, Elisha said to Gehazi, "Tell her we appreciate the kind concern you have shown us. What can we do for you? Can we put in a good word for you to the king or to the commander of the army?" "No," she replied, "my family takes good care of me." Later, Elisha asked Gehazi, "What can we do for her?" Gehazi replied, "She doesn't have a son and her husband is an old man." "Call her back again," Elisha told him. When the woman returned, Elisha said to her, as she stood in the doorway, "Next year, at this time, you will be holding a son in your arms." "No, my lord," she cried out. "O man of God, don't deceive me and get my hopes up like that." But sure enough, the woman soon became pregnant. And at that time, the following year, she had a son, just as Elisha had said. She put a bed in a room. God put a baby in her womb. As a pastor, maybe some of you don't know why I would become a pastor, why anybody would become a pastor of a church, because the Bible actually talks about the strict judgment that a pastor or a teacher will come under. I don't know whether you've ever read your Bible, but there is a strict judgment. What that means is God's going to hold me accountable for your lives. Did you know that? So why would you do this? Anyone ever? I don't even know why I'm doing it. Let me tell you why you would do it. Because you're hoping like crazy that God will bless these people. Because you have the heart of Jesus. Now, this is any pastor. You have the heart of Jesus that you don't want God's sheep to be scattered. You don't want them to be lost. You don't want them thinking, what is life all about? And the bottom line is this. As a pastor, I just want to see every person, every child, every teenager, every mature person in this church, I want to see you blessed. I want to see you prosper in life. I don't want you to get to your deathbed and say, my life was terrible. I want you to be on your deathbed one day saying, my life was full. My life was awesome. It wasn't perfect, but God was with me through the trial. And my kids are around me or my family around me. I feel like I have won in life. Does anyone want that for their life? Come on, get a little bit noisy here today. Does anybody want to win? Does anybody want to do well? Well, I want you to do well. I want every person to do well. So my job then is I've got to get you guys to a place. I've got to get myself to a place where, just like in this story, Elisha represents God. And we represent the woman from Shunem. Eventually, Elisha turns around to this woman and he says, "You've been so kind to us. You've made some sacrifices for us. You've been very generous. And then eventually he turns around and he says to her, now what can be done for you? My job is that every person in this church is hearing the voice of God saying to you, now what can be done for you? That's my job. To position your lives so that God would say to all of us, what can be done for you? How do we find ourselves in a place where God would say, John, Bill, Sally, Sabrina, whatever your name is in this room, imagine waking up in the morning and you're hearing a voice saying, what can be done for you? Does anybody want to hear that from God? Does anybody want to hear God say, now listen, Graham, what can be done for you? Nathan, what can be done for you? May, what can be done for you? Poke the person beside you and say, what can be done for you? What can be done for you? Well, it's a very simple question with a very simple answer. Are you ready for it? What has ever made God do that? Biblically speaking, when has God ever turned to someone and said, hey, listen, what now can be done for you? Well, there's a few instances, and you'll see that there is something that is that is significant in every one of those situations, and it's not a coincidence. He's actually in every one of those situations. We also find it in the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 34. It says, one day at about 3 PM, a man called Cornelius had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him and he says, what is it, Lord? He asked. And the angel answered, your prayers and your gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. God is paying attention to you. A memorial has been built in front of God. Why? Because of your prayers and because of your gifts to the poor. In other versions of the Bible, it says because of your alms. In other words, he was being generous. And I want to encourage you today. It's a very simple message. Do you want God to turn around one day and say to you, what can be done for you? Have a generous spirit, friends. Now, some of you are thinking, oh, he's preaching this because this is it and it's the campaign. Absolutely, 100%. But let me tell you something about generosity. Very difficult to be generous in one area and not in another. You're either a generous person or you're not. You're either a generous person with your conversation and your comments to your partner or you're not. And the person who is generous, see, generosity is not an action, it's a spirit. Repeat after me. Generosity is not an action, it's a spirit. It's a spirit. You're either generous or you're not. Show me someone who's very generous with their words, they're usually very generous with their time. Find me someone who's very generous with their time, they're usually very generous with their money. Because it's a spirit. Because see, they've got a revelation. They've got a revelation that it's okay to give of yourself. And I want Lifehouse Church to continue to be a generous church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now listen to this. This is really important. This is really important. I am not talking about God saying to you what can be done for you in the spiritual realm. Why? Because it's already been done for you. Amen. None of this that I'm talking about applies to the spiritual realm. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, it is finished. You are never going to have more peace from God than you can have right now today by simply asking Jesus. You can never be more righteous before God than you can be right now just by simply asking Jesus. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? What can wash away my stain? Nothing but the... Oh, okay. What can make me whole again? Oh, precious. I love that song. Hey, none of this message that I'm talking about right now applies to your spiritual life. And if anyone ever says it does, they are lying to you because Jesus said it is finished. It is done. All the love of God that you ever need can be achieved by simply asking Jesus into your life. All the love, the grace, the power of God, all of that spiritual stuff is all found in Jesus. I'm not talking about that today. God didn't give this woman peace and love and joy. He gave her a baby. I'm talking about in the physical world, is there anything that you desperately would love to have come into your life? Well, you need God to look at you and say, what can be done for you? Yeah. Now, some of us are thinking, but wouldn't God just do that for us anyway? Well, apparently not. Because he tells us in Malachi how he actually works. He tells us in a whole lot of places how he actually works. And if you just got everything in the physical realm by God by simply asking, well, come on, let's be honest. How many of you have already asked and it hasn't happened yet? So let's be really blunt about that, because, oh, no, just ask God and he gives. No, well, that apparently not. And Jesus and the scriptures keep unpacking this stuff. You know, it's one of our core samples. It simply says this. Generosity is one of the core samples, one of our values at church. And then there's a little line underneath it that says this. Generosity, the path to a blessed life. And we believe that in this church with all of our heart. And I believe that we live it as a church. Amen? Let me just say this right up front, though. I believe I pastor a very, 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 very generous church. This is not one of those messages because you guys aren't being generous. I've got to preach it. No, you're already being generous. But there are some new people in the room that have never heard this stuff before. And there are some of us that are being tempted to not be generous. And I just want to keep encouraging you to be generous. Why? Because there's scriptures like this, Proverbs 11, 25. It says this, the generous may prosper. What does it say? You're going to prosper. It's not my word, it's God's word. Amen? The Bible, that's God speaking. The generous will prosper. And those who refresh others, what's going to happen to you? You yourself will be refreshed. Now, let me go a little bit deeper. Most of us in this room would go, generosity, yeah, we've heard this before, Pastor Richard. Sounds awesome. Yeah, oh, we totally agree with all this. Amen, amen. It's one of those messages. Time to get onto Facebook. Let me go a little bit deeper. Generosity has another name. Generosity is the name that she shows most people. But if you talk to generosity and say, what's your real name? She'll say, I've actually got a real name, but I hide it sometimes. But generosity's real name is sacrifice. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Good. Generosity's real name is sacrifice. How do we know this? If I had a $2 coin, if I had a $2 coin right here, and I saw one of these young kids, who, how many of you would know that they don't probably have a whole lot of money on them, right? And if I was to walk up to one of those little children and give that young child a $2 coin, how many of you would think that I'm being generous? No, nobody. No one's thinking I'm being generous. No, actually, I'm not being generous. That young child takes that $2 coin and gives that $2 coin to another child. Now, remember, this child, this $2 coin is the only coin they have. And they give that $2 coin to another child. Yeah. How many of you think now that that child is being generous? Yeah. Oh, hang on a minute. Same amount of money. True. Coming out of my pocket, most of us would go, really, Rich? Really? $2. But that child giving it to another child, it's like, whoa, what sort of a spirit is this? It's never about the amount, friends. It's about the heart. Amen. Listen, it's never about the amount. It's about the sacrifice. Yeah, for me, it was no sacrifice to give that $2 coin. But for that child to give that $2 coin to another child, there was a huge amount of sacrifice. Amen? Yeah, generosity has another name, friend, and she's called sacrifice. That's what Jesus was speaking about with the woman who gave the two mites. Do you remember this story? Let's read it very quickly. Mark chapter 12. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put, and he watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Jesus himself was watching. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came in and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. Why? Because they gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all that she had to live on. In other words, the equivalent, what this woman gave, if she was Bill Gates, she gave $44 billion that day, because she gave everything she had. I've heard this scripture and people have used it like, you know, it doesn't really matter what you give to God. Yes, it does. It's not the amount. It's always the heart, though. It is. It's never about the amount. It's always about, did you have to live by faith to give that? As it was leaving your hand, did you go, oh, God, this is a sacrifice? God goes, ooh, I love that. Guys, God is God. He owns everything. You can't impress him with your wealth. The only thing you can impress him with is your heart of sacrifice for him.
Awesome preaching.
Amen. Yeah, absolutely. Give the Lord a huge round of applause. I've just taught you something that is going to absolutely change your life. Because this woman was honored because she could have used that money instead of building that house on top of the on top of her house for the prophet. She could have bought a brand new ox or a cart, the Audi new Audi cart that had just come out. She could have bought the new cart. She could have got herself some nice camel extensions coming out of her hair. She could have bought the new double fire pit in her little house. But she chose, you know what? I'm going to sacrifice. I want the man of God to be blessed. I want God's house to be blessed. And that's what she did. And God saw her sacrifice and then asked the question, now that you've done that, what can be done for you? Doesn't that sound like God? By the way, this whole miracle took place because it wasn't the husband that said, let's do it. It was the woman. On Mother's Day, I thought it was appropriate to just basically highlight that that guy would have been happy to watch the prophet come and go. But the woman said, no, let's not do this. Yeah. Guys, maybe listen to the women in our world a little bit more sometimes. Amen. Do you know when Jesus was dying on the cross, all the guys ran away. It was only the women left at the foot of the cross. Yeah. Do you know who the first person was that actually saw Jesus risen from the dead? A woman. There is something very special about women. Do you know who knew that Pontius Pilate shouldn't crucify Jesus? His wife. Do you know if men just had, you know, we would, except for the apple, the whole apple thing. We still got you on the apple thing, all right? Right, the whole apple thing, you sort of, that messed it all up for you. But besides that, you women are pretty awesome, but remember, you did come out of us, and so don't blame us that we don't have what you guys have got because we were very generous to release you out of our lives. Don't forget that part, all right? Hey, listen, this is important. Let me break this down for you. How many of you have heard of a young person who's in a very bad place, but yet you look at their parents and you think, wow, but their parents are so wealthy, and you know for a fact that their parents have bought them cars, houses, they've done everything for them, but yet that child still feels unloved. Come on, we know about this. It was in the paper just recently, some film director in LA, his son killed himself because he didn't feel loved. And yet the father says, I don't know what else I could have done. I bought him everything. Listen, it's never about buying cars. Let me tell you what often happens with these young people. They don't feel like mum and dad actually made a sacrifice. Yeah, I know you bought me a house, but dad, it came out of your $14 billion. It doesn't really matter to me. I just want to know that you sacrificed. You know what? Better you give your child a little chocolate that you have to sacrifice for than to buy them a house that didn't cause you to sacrifice. Are you hearing that? It's a spirit, friends. Catch the spirit that it's okay to sacrifice because that is what attracts the blessing of God on your life. Amen? It's the sacrifice. How many of us have had the horrible realization that you're in a friendship where there is no sacrifice? That person never sacrifices for you. How many of us have been in a friendship or a relationship where you wake up one day and you go, hang on a minute, this person never sacrifices. It's always where they want to go, what they want to do. Yes, there's a lot of nodding going on. Come on, some of us have been in those situations where we have that horrible realization, hey, listen, we've sort of got this thing going on, but there's never a sacrifice. God loves a sacrifice. Generosity, oh, that's beautiful. Let's be generous. Yeah. But listen, to be generous means that you are willing to let go of, which means you need to sacrifice. God so loved the world. How many of us think that it was generous that God gave us his son? Yeah, but what did he do with that son? He sacrificed him. And so I want us to catch a spirit of generosity. And what is the spirit? It's the spirit of sacrifice. Is anyone getting something out of this? Listen to this. Psalm 20, verses 3 to 4. Look at what comes first. May he remember all your and accept your. And then the very next verse says, and may he give you the desires of your heart and make all your plans to succeed. What came first? Did you pick that up? What came first? May God see your sacrifices. May he see the burnt offerings you're making, which, you know, we don't do that anymore. Please don't go killing lambs and stuff today. That's not what we're talking about. What I'm saying to you is, hey, listen, in your relationships, you think you're being generous? Awesome. When was the last time you sacrificed for your relationship? When was the last time you sacrificed for your children? But I'm tired. I don't want to read a book. No, sacrifice some of your time so that they can have some of your time. Amen. That's what actually attracts the blessing, friend. Not just from heaven, but also on earth. And there is never a sacrifice that goes unnoticed from God. Isn't that beautiful? Never a sacrifice. Why am I talking about this on Mother's Day? Because you know what? A mother has to sacrifice her early mornings to spend time with that child, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Often.
Yeah.
Sometimes she gets dad up, but most of the time it's mum. Do you know if you talk to a mum, she will tell you they are the moments that actually bonded her to her child. Do you know when a mother really bonds to a child? When she's sacrificing for that child. Do you know the more sacrifices you make for your child, the closer it brings you together?
Yeah.
And you're thinking, really? Well, Jesus said it about your treasure. Remember what Jesus said about your treasure? When you sacrifice your treasure, Jesus said, where your treasure is, your heart is also. Wherever you're putting your sacrifice, it's what's going to attach you. That's why I want people to serve in the house. Did you know that? I want you to sacrifice some hours and serve around the house and do stuff. Why? Because I want you to, I want your heart to be attached to the house.
Amen.
Whatever you sacrifice to is what you will be attached to. I'm going to say that again. Whatever you sacrifice to, you will be attached to. Amen. Now, this is one of those real messages, but I tell you what, I spend a lot of time in my office counseling couples, and do you know what's usually going on in that relationship? Someone has stopped being generous. Someone has stopped sacrificing. Someone has made it all about them and not about the other person anymore. If I can get a whole church to be generous to each other, generous to their friends, generous to their children, my job's done. That's all anybody ever wants, is to be first. Amen? Do we all want to be first or not? Yeah, some of us are like, I'm not really sure. Well, let me prove it to you. My love, there's many of you in my life. There's many things like you that are right. Then Diana Ross. My third love. Have you noticed that songs don't go like that on the radio? No, no, no. She says, my first love. Right? That's why it's important to preach messages like this. Keep God first.
Yes.
Hey, listen, keep your partner in your world relationally. Keep your partner first, friends. Keep your children first. And you think about how many firsts can I have? It's funny. They don't want to be first above someone else. They just want to be first in that relationship. My children would be devastated if another child was first rather than them. Are you hearing that? But they don't mind that their mother is first above them. But my wife would be devastated if there was another woman that was above her. Are you hearing that? Are you picking this up? You're right. So you can have many firsts in your life as long as with that relationship, that person is first. Are you hearing that? Generosity. She has another name. Sacrifice. So as we go into relationships, as we do go into our miracle offering, hey, listen, please understand something. It's never, ever, ever about the amount. I just want God to say, wow, gee, you sacrificed. And you know, for some people in this room, if you gave $8, God would go, wow, because you don't even have $8. And for some of you, you could give a $100,000 check and God would go, big deal. Isn't that frightening?
Yeah.
That God would go, that wasn't a sacrifice for you. I love that. I love that about God because it's always about your heart. Do you know how easy it would be as a church to go, hey, let's just set a limit. Let's just do that. Let's just make this amount. And some of you would go, yeah, I could do that easily. And some would go, I could never do that. That's why we don't do it. Because it's never about equal giving. It's equal sacrifice. And repeat after me. It's never about equal giving. It's equal sacrifice. Amen. Did you learn something?
Yeah.
Generosity, friends, it's a spirit, not an action. Why don't you stand with me? Come on. Generosity. Hey, listen. If generosity is not an action but a spirit, this is the great news. I can't help you. I'm going to say that again. I can't help you. If it's a spirit, then it belongs to the spiritual realm, which means only God can help you. Does anybody want to be generous? Some of us need to be more generous with our forgiveness. But do you know what they've done to me? Yeah, I know. It means you're going to have to sacrifice your anger. You're going to have to sacrifice your anger and your justice and that the wrong thing was done. You're going to have to sacrifice that in order to be generous. Are you seeing that? It's a spirit. Some of us, you've almost given up on your kids because you've tried to love them, but they don't seem to respond. Well, that's it. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to respond. I'm just going to wait for them to come back to me. I'm glad God didn't do that. I'm glad that He still came down from heaven to earth and died on a cross for us. Amen. Does anybody want the spirit of generosity? Does anybody want that? It's a spirit, friends. And it'll bleed into every area of your life. It'll bleed into your conversation. You'll become a generous person because you agree with the word. Number one, we've got to agree with the word. A generous person will prosper. Does anyone agree with that? Yeah. Amen. That's great. Do we believe that it's the way God wants us to live? Amen. Do we believe that generosity equals sacrifice? Amen. Well, you know what? Just like anything else, we need to say, God, that's the spirit I want, because I do want you to say to me, what can be done for you? Amen. Come on, close your eyes right across this place. Father, I pray for a spirit of generosity. God, it's a spirit. And that spirit is you. The enemy is not generous. You are generous, God. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, I pray for every person in this room to receive a generous spirit in their relationships, in their friendships, toward their employers, toward their employees. Lord God, I pray for a spirit of generosity to fall upon us all, Father God, because we know that our lives will be blessed as we behave just like you. In Jesus' name, amen. And everyone said amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a huge round of applause.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.